Good morning. How good it is to be together on this third Sunday in the season of Lent. Beautiful outside and beautiful inside to see all of you here among us. I trust you know that no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, it is our deep desire to meet you where you are and share God's love with you. Just a couple of announcements before we enter into worship. The last few weeks, we have been lifting up and reminding you of opportunities to contribute toward the Ukraine Relief Fund. This past Monday evening at our council meeting, the council voted unanimously to take $3,000 from our Going the Extra Mile Fund, the GEM Fund, and contribute that toward the Ukraine Relief Fund that is sent via the United Church of Christ and puts to good use our global ministries folk already on the ground in Poland and in Hungary. We would like to challenge the congregation to match that $3,000 gift. Many of you have already made individual contributions, and as families, we will let you know what the individual total is next week. Let's see if we can match the $3,000 and perhaps even go beyond it. I trust you also noticed when you received your Herald this past week, either in the mail or via email, there was an additional list of opportunities, charities that have been checked out that you might want to contribute toward also going toward Ukrainian relief. So keep that on your radar in the weeks ahead. And finally, in your bulletins, there is an envelope for the One Great Hour of Sharing offering, which will be received next Sunday. It is an offering of the United Church of Christ, and it is offerings such as this that are gathered throughout the year that also help with special crises like the one that we are dealing with currently in Ukraine. So please keep that on your radar as you are making gifts to St. John's and other places. I'm going to invite you to join with me now in taking a deep breath as we shift our gears and enter into worship. Breathe in God's presence here among us. May you feel how close God is. Breathe out those things that are distracting you, that are weighing heavy on your mind. Let go of them for just a bit as we seek to encounter the living God as we worship now together. Amen. Many of you are aware that for the past several years, I've been compiling a list of what I call four-letter words of faith. It contains words like love, care, pray, wait, hope, sing. Well, recently I added yet another four-letter word to my list, the word open. To that ever-growing list, I've added that word because God's mercy, God's grace, God's forgiveness, and God's love are open to all. With open arms, Jesus welcomed the children, embraced tax collectors and sinners, and reached out into the margins of society, offering food to the hungry, hope to the hopeless. Open is the opposite of closed. Open is drawing the circle wide rather than rejecting those who do not meet certain criteria. Those who are open are receptive to learning new things, willing to change their ways, capable of transformation. And when an invitation is open, no one is excluded. No one is left behind. God's open invitation to us on this third Sunday in the season of Lent is to come to the one who loves us with an undying love. Come to be fed by the one who feeds us in ways this world never can and never will. Come to be both comforted and challenged by the teachings of Christ as he journeyed toward Jerusalem, toward the cross, and ultimately toward life that conquers death. With open hearts and minds, we come now and enter into worship in the name of God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to join with me in praying the prayer of confession that is printed in our bulletin. Let us pray. Gracious God, your forgiveness is available to all. Your mercy abundant, your grace overflowing, and as for your love, there is more than enough to go around. Yet we tend to want to limit these gifts of yours. We would prefer that you divvy them up with tight fists to those we deem worthy, fearful that if you offer them too freely and generously, these gifts might run out. Forgive us, O God, for underestimating the magnitude of your love, for failing to remember that your ways are higher than our ways and your thoughts beyond what any one of us can comprehend. Your invitation to us to come to your table and experience the abundance you have to offer is an invitation for all people. May we live with that awareness, and may it be reflected in the way we treat all people. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, God's forgiveness is open to all. When we confess our sins, God is faithful. God is just. God forgives us and cleanses us from all that is not right. Claim that gift, a gift that has been offered freely. Let it change the way you live. Let it impact the way you treat others. We are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Good morning. Our first scripture reading this morning is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 1 through 9. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you that have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And our gospel reading today comes from the book of Luke, chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. At that very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the other living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and I still find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year, until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." As always, I have a special message for our children. I see children out there to listen, and I know there are some that listen from home, and of course, it's a message for all of us. We are still in the season of Lent here at church as we make our way on our journey towards Easter. The words of our psalm today were on my mind this week because, to be honest, daylight savings time has really been messing with my sleep schedule. I don't know about you. And I have laid awake several nights in a row. And of course, when you lay awake at night, it's like you hear everything, every thought you've ever had comes to your mind, and it can be a little bit overwhelming. Now, we didn't read our psalm for this week, but let me share the part that I've been thinking about. It's from Psalm 63, and part of it says this: "On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night, because you are my help. I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me." Another translation of that same passage says it this way: "If I'm sleepless at midnight, I spend the hours in grateful reflection. Because you've always stood up for me, I'm free to run and play. I hold on to you for dear life, O God, and you hold me steady as a post." This psalm, written by a man named David, is a prayer that he wrote when he was very much in need of God's company and protection. He shares that he thinks of God at night and prays for his help and peace when he sleeps. I wonder if you've ever felt like that, restless and a bit scared, not sure what's going to happen or when you would fall asleep. Nighttime can be a little scary. It's dark and quiet, especially when you can't sleep, and it seems to last forever. In those moments, our psalm tells us exactly what to do. Remember God. To spend the time when you're lying awake, thinking about what we're grateful for. Inviting God to sit in that silence with you and comfort you if you're scared. To pray and ask God to calm your mind and give you what you need to have a peaceful journey into a restful night's sleep. It seems to me that the season of Lent is a bit like nighttime. We are all waiting for the bright sunrise of Easter morning, but first, we have to make it through the long hours of Lent. It can often feel a bit dark and quiet and even a little bit scary as we wait to see how Jesus' story will unfold. It's a season when we might think that God feels far away, but really, it's actually when God gets closest to us. Just like we remember God and invite God and cling to God in the darkest, loneliest, most restless moments of a sleepless night, we can do the same thing during this season leading up to Easter, or really whenever we feel scared and in need of extra comfort, reassurance, and peace. Your Carry Out Connection activity this week is to write your own bedtime prayer. And don't worry, we've helped you out in getting it started, and you'll be filling in the blanks Mad Lib style. If you've never done a Mad Lib, they turn out pretty great. This is a great thing to pray before bed and keep close by for those long sleepless nights. God is always with us, but as you've heard me say many, many times before, taking time to pause and pray reminds us of that comforting truth. So let's take time now to pray together, and then we will end, as always, by saying the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray. God, just like this season of Lent, nighttime can be long and dark and full of the unknown. It can make us feel anxious and uneasy and a little restless. In times like that, O God, whether we are awake or asleep or somewhere in between the two, you are with us. Help us to never forget that. All of these things we pray in Christ's name, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
I invite you to be with me now in a spirit of prayer. Loving God, we believe you are here among us, wherever we may be worshiping. We are listening for you. Open our ears. Open our hearts. Open our eyes. Open our minds. And in the midst of my words, may your word be clearly heard. Amen. Early on in life, I can remember being told, if something sounds too good to be true, it probably is too good to be true. Those were wise words of advice for the most part. But you know, the more I began to read the Bible and learn about this God in whom I had placed my faith and trust, I began to encounter things that sounded too good to be true. A God who shows no partiality. A God who forgives the unforgivable, loves the unlovable, gives us more than one chance. And it occurred to me, sometimes things that sound too good to be true really are true. That is when God is involved. Because God does not operate the way we do. The message in Isaiah was clear. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. God's ways are not our ways. God operates from a different vantage point, and to that I say, thank God. God judges us, but not in the way that human beings judge one another. God holds us accountable. God invites us to bear fruit, but then helps us do just that. And God does give us more than one chance. We are given countless opportunities to find the life that really is life. We see this too good to be true story spelled out clearly in Isaiah, where as we begin hearing the reading, we are offered things without cost, delicious meals without price. And then Isaiah asks, why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. Delight yourselves in rich food. In a sense, the question that is being asked is, why do you give the best of yourself to someone or something that can never love you back? We are challenged to give the best of ourselves to one who can love us back, and that, of course, is God. The God who does what we do not expect, who does things that are too good to be true. We see that in today's gospel lesson as well. At first glance, it appears to be about a variety of things that are unconnected to one another, but a closer look reveals otherwise. Sandwiched in between teachings about repentance and a woman who was bent over for 18 years being healed is a parable about a fig tree. A landowner going into his vineyard, into his garden, seeing a fig tree that has not bloomed and borne fruit in 3 years, and instructing the gardener to cut it down. Don't bother to let it take up more space anymore. That fig tree parable is an important one. So is the story that comes after it about the woman who could not stand up straight. And I include that even though it wasn't part of our lectionary reading, because yet it reminds us again that God does things that we would not think to do. And God deems worthy those whom society would not give the time of day. In these teachings about repentance, we learn quite a bit about what repentance is and it is not. It starts out with a man telling Jesus about horrific events that have occurred, and as a result of those horrific events, people have died. The assumption is made that those people who died were worse sinners than anyone else. Otherwise, why would such an awful ending have come to them? Jesus is quick to point out that is not the case. Even though we want to be able to explain why people suffer and why terrible things happen to people, we do not usually have the answers. In fact, Jesus is quick to point out we all need to repent, to make an about face. We all need to change how we view and understand our place in this world. Spelling out the difference between forgiveness and repentance and apology is an important distinction to make. Apology and repentance aren't necessarily the same thing. If I apologize to you, well, that may be reluctantly. It may be out of a sense of obligation. You've heard more than once a parent say to a child, "Tell your brother you're sorry you hit him." Sorry. Not particularly sincere in that apology. Repentance, however, is another thing altogether. Repentance is intentional. It's a choice we make. It is a self-initiated change, wanting to live our lives better. The Greek word for repentance is metanoia, and literally means to change course for the better, to change one's mind, to change one's purpose. The gardener decides to make a change. Not wanting the landowner to cut down the fig tree, he suggests that he will change his course of action and care for this fig tree differently, digging around it, adding some manure, some fertilizer, tending to it more carefully along the way. Because you see, repentance is not just about turning away from evil, and it's not just about resisting fire and brimstone. Repentance is about embracing change. It is about finding fruit to meet the world's needs. When Jesus says, "You must repent or you will perish," the "you" is plural. You see, in Scripture, the fig tree is often representative of Israel and its people. Jesus pivots from conversation about them to conversation about us, an invitation to self-examination. Repentance and renewal is a call to community. Now, did you hear the gardener's request when the landowner said he wanted to cut down the fig tree? The gardener requested, "Let it alone." And the interesting thing is, the Greek root for that phrase, "let it alone," is the very same Greek root for the word that is found in forgiveness. In asking for forgiveness, the gardener is asking for time and space to help the fig tree thrive. He wants to treat the barren tree as though it were one of the thriving fig trees. He wants to water it, fertilize it, give it space and time. He wants to give it another chance. Nadia Boltz Weber, in reflecting on this passage, writes, "Forgiveness in this parable is letting go, leaving something alone in the interest of radical transformation." Let me say that again. Forgiveness in this parable is letting go, leaving something alone in the interest of radical transformation. Is it not true that oftentimes we grow better, we learn better, if people just give us a little space, a little room, a little time, a little place to breathe? Now, we can't help but wonder, because we don't hear the results of this, we don't know what occurred 1 year later. Did the fig tree bear fruit after the gardener put that manure in the soil and stirred things up and watered it and cared for it? We don't know for sure. We don't know whether or not the gardener was simply postponing the inevitable. But I'd like to believe that indeed that fig tree did bear fruit, because it was given space, it was given time, it was given room, and because that's how God operates. God abounds in grace. Yes, the flip side of that is also true. There is judgment, and the parables of Jesus ought to alarm us, ought to get our attention, because they're not all sweetness and they're not all good news. God's judgment always is alongside of the grace. The promise of grace is always alongside of the certainty of judgment. The God who waits one more year before cutting the fig tree down is the same God who one day judges. And the God who judges injustice and oppression is the same God who reaches out loving arms to those who are lost and alone. Read through the parable again, and we can't help but notice a sense of urgency. Why? Well, because we have all at different times failed to bear good fruit in our lives, choosing instead to focus on that which does not bring joy, on that which does not love us back. Now is the time to do something about that. Now is the time to repent, to change. This sense of urgency that we have when we read this parable is not simply about a fear of fire and brimstone or being zapped by God if we make a mistake. No, it's Jesus' sense of urgency because he wants us to live better lives, wants us to experience the life that really is life. Yes, Scripture is full of things that seem too good to be true. But because they come from promises made by a God who is better than we can imagine, more than we can fathom, whose ways are higher than ours, whose thoughts are different than ours, what does seem impossible becomes possible and real. And so during this season of Lent, this time that tends to be dark, this time that tends to be one in which we focus on repentance, let us dare to change so that we might bear fruit and experience the life that really is life. In so doing, may we also share that life with those we encounter along the way. Amen.
Please be seated. As we move into our time of prayer this morning, of course, I have joys and concerns to lift up among us so that we might hold them together in prayer. A few joys. Ann Porter celebrated her birthday this past week, as did both Mark and Karen Methley, so we celebrate with all of them. In weeks prior, we have prayed for the McMullins' daughter's friend, Sarah. She has recovered from the septic shock she was suffering from, and aside from a few small problems, is doing well and is in good spirits, and so we rejoice with Sarah and her family and loved ones. Several concerns to lift up this morning. In weeks past, we have kept Diane Butt in our prayers. Diane did pass away early last week, so we keep her family in our prayers, particularly her brother and her son. We also keep in our prayers the family of George Richardson. We just learned this morning that George passed away early this morning at home, so we surround his wife Phyllis and children with our prayers. We also, of course, keep in mind and in prayers the people of Ukraine, all who are in the path of destruction. We keep all those people, children, families, being rehomed and moved in our prayers. Knowing that we always come to a time of prayer in the midst of our gathering of worship to lift up one another, to surround all that weighs heavy on us with prayer, I invite you to bring your own joys and concerns to mind now as we add them with ours that have been lifted up and lift them up to God together in prayer. Holy God, creator of life, you have the power to call us out of our dark places, and yet you also have the tenderness to meet us in the thick of them. You offer us the grace of a brand new day, and yet you meet us when the loneliness of night sets in. God, when we struggle to see the light, you become light. When we struggle to grow, you grow with us. When we see nothing but hopelessness, you embody hope. When we are in pain, you step into the pain with us, opening your hands and offering to take our burdens from us. Time and time again, you invite us into abundant life, to partake of that which feeds and fills and nourishes us. But that does not mean that we always get it right, or that a life will not have hardship or pain. Abundant life with you is about unfailing grace, unconditional love, and the promise that we are not alone on this journey, assurance that you are always a call away. So hear us as we call out to you this day, O God, as we come together as a community to pray, to celebrate, to lament, to lift up to you all that we hold and carry. When we are swept away in that which makes life worth living, celebrations and joys, milestones and sighs of relief, precious time surrounded by friends and family, when we encounter the beauty of your creation, remind us that you are close, rejoicing with us, sharing in our excitement and our happiness. We pray especially this day for Anne and Mark and Karen as they celebrate birthdays. We think of Sarah and we cheer her on, with her family surrounding her as she continues to recover. And God, when concerns fill our every thought, when anxiety, grief, worry, fear, or pain threaten to consume us, surround us. No matter what we hunger or thirst for, justice, peace, relief from pain, an end to suffering, life beyond the grief of loss. You are close at hand, drawing near to our concerned and heavy hearts. We pray especially this day, O God, for the people of Ukraine, all those in the destructive path of war. We keep Diane's family in our prayers, and George's family, especially Phyllis and his children, in our prayers. God, we take time now to lift up the prayers that are on our hearts and minds, knowing that even when we do not say them out loud, you know our hearts. Hear our prayers, O God. As we continue on in this season of Lent, call us out of our complacency and routines. Set us free from the things that tie us down and trip us up. Fill us with your spirit of life, compassion, and peace. With Easter on the horizon, remind us that there is yet still road to walk. Keep us grounded and in tune as we do so. Reassure us that though darkness comes, the light of your hope remains lit within us and around us. May we be faithful carriers and bearers of that light this day and every day. Amen.
As you arrive for worship this morning, you placed your offering in the offering plates by the entrances. We pause now to dedicate those gifts, to offer them up to God, and to ask God's blessing upon them as we join together in singing our doxology. O God, love so amazing, so divine, almost too good to be true, but it is true. And with that love and that grace, you challenge us to share our gifts, to be good stewards, to be your people. And so we ask you, O God, to take these gifts, gifts we offer in gratitude to you. We ask you to bless them. Guide us as we seek to use them in ways that make a difference, that honor your way of being in this world, that help others, that share the abundance so all might have enough. In all of our living, loving, and serving, O God, may we reflect your generous spirit. May we reflect your love and grace. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. friends, as you go forth this day, may you do so to repent, keeping in mind that repentance is about changing so that we might be able to bear fruit, so that we might be able to experience the life that really is life, knowing that the one who seems almost too good to be true, but is indeed as good as we imagine and more so, goes with us. Claim that promise, and as you do, may the light of God surround you, the love of God enfold you, the power of God protect you, and the peace of God remain ever with you. Amen.